is Donna with the Cheney County Board of Equalization. Is this Alan Roth?
Yes.
Alan, you're here with us all. You're live on the internet, and you're also being recorded, and Bob Rose is our chairperson.
Okay, I thought you were calling me on my house phone.
We can go back.
I can call you back.
Well, sometimes a cell phone isn't too important.
Okay.
And that's why I thought you were calling me on my house phone. That's why I got home here at 3 o'clock to answer it.
Okay, 314-867-7946?
That's right.
I'll call you right back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, it's already on there. How'd you get
yourself? Just another lens.
Cool. Dig it on down. Let's see what the other values on down the stretch are. 35.
Hello. Okay, will you have me now? We've got the hard line. What is your justification now for asking for a tax reduction on a sort of appraisal?
Well, I was down there a few months back and went to a real estate guy about listing the property for sale, and he told me that if I wanted to list it for around $125,000, well, he'd be interested in selling it for me.
Wow!
And that's
how much did you pay for it?
We've already heard this,
huh,
Donna?
It was tabled.
I paid $180,000.
Have we called you before, sir?
He's been on the list several times, but it was rescheduled, I think.
I've got notes.
Hold up your argument for you. Mr. Roth?
Yes.
We're arguing among ourselves here. What did you say the purchase price was?
I'm not sure. $180-something. 82, maybe. 89, I'm not sure.
And when did you buy it? What year?
About 2 years ago.
So about 07.
I think I bought it.
I had notes
here. In September
or something
of 07.
I had notes.
Now, actually, you bought it at about 182. It's assessed at 165. You say the agent tells you you have to come down to.
Well, when I went to him to see about selling it, why, he says, if you're interested in selling it for around $125,000, he says, I'll list it for you. I said, well, no, I wasn't interested in selling it for $125,000.
Did you put any time frame on him or anything? I mean, was it a quick sale or anything?
No, I mean, I didn't discuss the time limit on it because I wasn't interested in him in selling it for $125,000.
Is there any other?
I mean, I assumed that he was, he was telling me that that's about what they were, that's about what they were selling for. So I'm selling for a little less than that. Hello.
Other than a real estate agent telling you that, do you have any other evidence, like, I mean, an appraisal or any?
No, I didn't get any appraisal. I was just, just going by. By what he was telling me, and I mean, I know property has dropped down from what it was. So, I mean, it has to be lower than what I paid for it.
Now, we're having to walk a tightrope here because we have to set the assessments on these as of January the 1st. And 6 months ago, things were better than they are now.
Is your property on the nightly rental program?
Is it on the what?
Nightly rental program?
Oh, yeah, it's on a nightly rental. It's on a nightly rental.
Okay.
One part of it is, one part of it isn't.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
you have a lockout room on it or something?
Yeah. Lockout room is rented.
So you keep one room for yourself, or you rent out the rest?
No, there's somebody renting that. By the year, 6 months lease.
Oh, okay. Someone is renting part of it.
The lockout.
Okay. And then the other part is on the nightly rental?
No, the nightly rental, when they can rent it. That hasn't been very good either.
Might be a split-use property.
what portion of this of the property is on you know, long-term rental?
The lockout part.
How much is that?
Half of it or a third of it?
No, it's not. It's not half of it. It's probably. I guess if you split it up, it'd probably be a third.
Okay.
It's a complete bedroom with a little mini kitchen. It doesn't have a full kitchen. It's a little mini kitchen. And its own bath.
We'll have to look at this and try to figure out how we're going to split this.
Yeah, because this is something unique.
Can you split this one?
I'd like to make a recommendation to this board that we split that value 50% residential, 50% commercial.
Okay. Now, the other thing, the properties right around it, can you give us a couple of those? We're looking up at a screen here, so we're kind of talking to you and trying to watch at the same time.
It's the same all
well,
the way around.
All I know is it's the Royal Links, and I mean, it's a... Mine is in building 8, mm-hmm. and my units are unit 5, A and B.
Well, you see, now we're a board of equalization, and we're looking at the properties all around you there. We've gone all the way around, are all at the same. Whoops, was one different there?
Well, that's on the back side.
Okay. They're all rated the same, so to say that you're not being treated equally. Would be a little bit hard to, but we can do something right here.
Split the residential off. And
we'll split the residential off to where you have a lower tax rate on half of it, and we still have to charge the higher rate. You see, on the nightly rental program. So that'll give
you. I don't understand the residential and commercial. I mean, they. Why. Why the rental of a condo like that would be considered commercial?
What one
a nightly rental program the state considers the same as a hotel, meaning they have to charge sales tax on it for the people that rent it out for you.
One's 19%, and the other one's 32.
It's 32%
commercial.
Commercial. No.
Yeah.
32% commercial, but it's only 19% on the regular residential, and the long range would be considered regular residential. So we'll work something out on that, and we'll get back to you and tell you what the final decision was of the board. You should hear from us in a few days.
In a few days.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
I just have to take you, just go on with whatever you do. I mean, I have no other control of that. I'm not down there, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I go down there maybe once a year.
Now let's get it clear that the one that's leased for 6 months is the 1/3, and the other one is the 2/3, or the reverse.
They said to go half, so we
go half.
Somebody said go half of
them. Yeah, that was okay. The assessor, so that's in your favor. But hold on.
Quick question. Last fellow we talked to on condos made mention that you didn't really make much money. You got any idea what money you bring in on your nightly rental part?
I have a loss on it ever since I've had it.
How do you mean a loss?
Well, I'm talking about my expenses versus versus what I get for it.
It had not been a good investment.
At the end of the year, I mean, end of the year, I'm at a loss of anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000.
Does it cost you something to have it in the nightly rental program?
Oh, yeah.
How much does it cost to be in the nightly rental program?
You'd be surprised. The nightly rental and everything that they charge back on you.
Okay, so
it's just unbelievable.
That fee, when you subtract out what you made by renting it, you ended up with a loss, a negative amount.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Every
year, from the time I've had it.
In your expenses, is there cost of your initial cost?
Well, I never dreamed that on the nightly rental that the back charges that they would have.
I see.
I mean, I have no control. I don't even know what they are, but they list like if they pay a traveling agency a commission, I have to pay that commission.
I got you.
If they put it on a credit card, I have to pay the credit card fee. Of course, anything they do, I mean, they come in and service the air conditioning equipment, and then, you know, they charge you an arm and a leg for that. They come in and they decide they want to clean the carpets. Well, they, you know, you pay for that. I mean, they just. I was under the impression that that linen service was in the rental thing, but yet every month I get a bill for what they call linen service.
So you pay a fee every year, and the fee that you pay does not equal what you get out of it. So you have a net loss.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be in touch.
Bye. Bye.
I'd like a motion to table the overall value of this property due to the fact that it's part of the Lynx, and we're going to be making several other decisions on the Lynx property.
Had we deferred those Lynx in addition to Tammy Como Terrace? Have we got some on this?
We just got through hearing them all day today. That's what we spent the whole day hearing was the Lynx.
Not very much of a little.
So second then, Chuck? Is that what
yes,
you did?
Second, please.
And whatever value we decide on, then divide that half and half between residential and commercial, I guess.
What he's saying is true. Remember we talked to the man in California and about the one down at the Hilton. He said he lost $200, $300 a month the time he paid the association fees and all the things that they tack on for the renters. I used to have a couple of these.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, no one's arguing the fact that they're losing money.
So we need a vote first on the table, and then we can have a motion to change the... Is that right? Just put everything off?
Or you want to work on this one unit? You just want to
table it all right now?
I want to table it until we decide on the other Lynx property that we've been hearing today.
Okay.
I have a motion to table and a second. I have a vote.
Aye.
Vote.
Aye.
Aye. Add one more to the tabling.
Do we have any more cases?
I would like a point of arguing against the... evidence presented on the uniformity to condos. I'd like that opportunity in front of this board right now while it's fresh on our minds.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'll say just bluntly, I believe all the information that was brought here by Mrs. Walden and Mr. Ruda as being the information to the best of their ability and the way they collected it, I believe they've applied it wrong unknowingly. I want to provide you with this board a set of sales 2007 through 2009, improved parcels only, as collected back by the assessor. Now they say 30% comes in, and that's not as relevant as their acquisition of 257 or something properties that they collected where they were at to discover uniformity problems. Well, this is consistent with 761 properties, improved parcels only, excluding condos. So I want to show you the results of that test. I don't have the fancy graphs and all that, but I do have the studies. And you can turn to the back page. There's no condos included, but there is 761 properties.
James, can I ask the... You held up a stack a while ago was 900?
I'm going on to that point. That's a different, this is improved parcels only. with no influence of the condo sales. The other had all the sales. The 2,197 was everything included.
This is the ones that you received letters back on.
Now then, yes, but in this time frame, I got 2,197 back. I pulled the improved parcels only out so as not to be skewed with vacant land sales and all that other. The argument being on uniformity, residential properties. As you see, the median, Dave, could you read the median? I give you away all my copies.
Median ratio?
Yes.
0.86.
Okay. That median ratio says I'm slightly low, not 60 or 70% or the 50s that was talked earlier. But look over at the mean. What does the mean say?
0.95.
Okay. Very important. The median and the mean.
Last page.
Well, the last. The
very last page. If you were to take those medians and means and look at them collectively, you'll see that I'm approximately 91% of market value on 700 and however many properties there. And it's a little confusing to me that over 300 of those properties more than likely would be a perfect one. And none of those perfect ones appeared in the earlier studies today. Mrs. Walden said on one of their studies they had one, and on the other study they had four. Now that's why I argued against the information that they provided and why I'm arguing it now.
Do you say these do not include condos?
No. I'm fixing to hand you a copy.
Now I see that. Just glancing down through here on this last page, I was just looking at sales price versus total appraised price.
Right.
And you've got one that was a sales price of $210,000, and you've got it appraised at $461,000.
That's correct.
Another one for $502,000, you've got appraised at $700,000.
That's correct. You've seen that one in this earlier BOE.
I asked before, and I didn't understand your answer. This right-hand column, the quality.
Right.
What do the letters mean?
That's a grading process in the Honeycutt system.
I mean, is like an A the best?
An A being the best. Actually, there's an S above an A. That's just an extreme. But if you look into this and see that these numbers are in total conflict with the graphs given us today. Now I'm going to hand you...
James, can I stop you? Tell me again what these properties are and how you got the papers.
Those are sales letters that came back to the assessor's office. There are sales of residential property throughout the county, and they are the properties that uniformity ought to be judged from.
And but it's like down towards the end of the last page, that's an improved property at 14... The lowest one I see there is $6,000 sale price and appraised value $14,000.
Yes, sir. That's probably on a cabin somewhere that we measured out. It may be a house with a bad roof on it, or somebody's fixing to fix it up. I don't know what it would be. We've got PRCs in our office to explain every parcel there, and every one of them are residential properties. Now, on the other list, if you really want to measure uniformity as per residential subclass, I've included the same list excluding vacant lands, all improvements including condos. When you look at that median, the assessor is at 91 and the mean is 97, and that's on 1,277 properties. When you go to arguing uniformity, I believe our counsel is right. You can't pick a particular area and go deciding a uniformity problem in the county. But right here's the numbers on it. Then go one step further. Residential properties uniformity is measured by
all residential sales.
All residential sales. And like I say, I'm truly concerned that no more of those sales hit the grass put here before us today, saying I didn't have anything up to a wand. When you go into this one, I've showed Mr. Paulson, including vacant sales on 2,194 properties, not 250 or 175 in a Branson school district or whatever, not a two-bedroom house ranch style. I'm saying the information provided on the graphs and on the screen is not a true reflection of uniformity problems. You gentlemen are quick to believe that. I don't blame you, because you hear the outliers. That's what you're here for. You've heard from 3% of the property owners in Taney County. You're not hearing from 97% of the others. They know I'm at a perfect one on a lot of these properties. On this, I want to go through this statistic. 2,194 residential properties in Taney County, a 95 median, and a mean of 1.14, meaning I'm starting to get slightly too much value put on some of these residential properties. But I want you to have that information in a true argument against what was presented here today as a uniformity problem, because I believe she's failed in listing the promenades in her graphs, which are, we all know, is all commercial. But then we're going back to influence this board as, hey, this graph showing this spike is a uniformity problem. And that's what spikes are used for in ratio studies. It's for your visual use only and not statistical analysis. And Mr. Paulson, if you want to, I heard you comment earlier, you didn't really believe that that would be a residential uniformity study by picking a particular area. Didn't it have to include the condos and the entire county to reflect uniformity problems?
Well, that was a question that I asked Dan Ruta at the very end, and he admitted that the non-condo residential, which he found to be, by his study, at 58 or 59%, I think it was closer to 59%, that's what he was basing, I guess, his reduction on, and he didn't average those in for an average with the 98% or 97 to 100% on the condo properties. Residential properties, what she was talking about was the average of that classification. The classification would be residential, which would be all residential, which would include condos and residential. So you'd have to come up with an average. You'd have to take the 98% with the 59%, and find out how many condos there are and how many other there are, and average those all in. It wouldn't be 59%. It would be higher than 59%. How much higher, I don't know, because I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Also, you made a very important statement there. If I'm at 98% condos and 88% residential, and 90% being compliancy, how can you declare anything above 90% ununiform? We're not working with a perfect one. We are working, if I'm 90% residential and 98% condos, there's not a uniformity problem because I am in compliance.
I don't think anybody ever defined what uniform is. But I guess it might be like the Supreme Court justice said of pornography. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. And
that's what the graphs are.
And if somebody's at 59% as opposed to 98%, I think I know it when I see it. If that's the case,
and I don't deny this study will show particular houses. We don't know why. You asked the buyer, why did you pay that much? They can't answer that question. Especially compared to today versus 2 years ago. And so I don't believe in what you gentlemen might believe, that I don't understand uniformity. I understand uniformity, But I don't believe the guidelines laid out here today is anywhere close to proving a uniformity problem. I believe the information laid out here today shows some spikes they are aware of. Promenades, just been put on the books. First year put on versus when I reassessed them for what they sold for, will show a spike and show ununiform values. And that's my major concern is we got graphs and eye-catching, which I guess I should say it sure impressed the judge in Jefferson City to see those graphs. But the content of those graphs, I'm very much questioning. Why not would Mr. Ruda run a study on two-bedroom houses built before 2001 versus two-bedroom condos? What kind of graph would we see on the wall? That's not measuring uniformity because it is not measuring like properties, and that's all my argument is. I want you to know that.
One thing that I kind of want to, again, I'll take your word. There were things wrong with 35 that the state picked out, and that's something. But I noticed there's really only one. That's this Lake Road, Lake Club Road property, where you had assessed it at quite a little bit more than Walker assessed it, and Coleman didn't assess it at all. And yet it's the only one of this whole bunch here that took a big jump this year.
We just assess the property per neighborhood. If we don't see an increase needed, we don't do it. If we had no studies in there showing this big influx, I don't doubt Mr. Walker's appraisal. This was taking 06 sales alone. That's the problem with trying to introduce Mr. Walker's appraisal as any kind of evidence. His sales comparables in his study was 06 values alone and trying to come up with a value. The IAAO standard in the forum we just sat through, the PhD, and I don't know the gentleman's name, he says it is very advisory not to use any value before 2008 to establish 2009 values because that's a totally different market, totally off the scale. And I believe you gentlemen has weighed heavily on the 08 values when you're going down these sales lists. He says that. He writes for IAAO and sets standards for them.
No, I mean, for the most part, it looked like that you appraised it less than those guys, hot shots coming in from outside, with that one exception. And that's the one that took another big jump this year.
Dr. Rose, there's also a property on there that one of them appraised for $400,000 and one of them appraised for $500,000. And yeah, these are certified appraisers saying they're trying to determine value. If the assessor would have picked $450,000, he'd have been non-compliant in both directions.
But the assessor only had it 286.
Right.
Well, you had it at 256, and it was at 450 by Coleman, and it was at 550 by Walker. So you're off of both Coleman and Walker, but they're off from one another.
Right, and I'm not positive that the property we've got to go check hadn't been dozed today, that it even exists.
Is that on Norwood Drive? Who's that?
I'm not positive. There was one property sold for $575,000 on Table Rock Lake that was in one of their studies that the dozer was put in on that property about a week after they run the study on it. I'm not swearing that it's the property you're referring to, Bob. The reason I brought up that property is to show these gentlemen the differing opinions of value that's out there. What would some realtor say today they could sell that piece of property for as of January 1, 2009, is my question. May have been a spike due to uncontrollable instances, but I'm saying here in 2009, the assessor, with the downturns in the economy, is a lot closer than any reports you gentlemen has looked at.
I'm seeing so many of these that the total appraised value is higher than the sales price, a big percentage of them down through here. That's going to throw the mean up.
Sure it will.
And but I'm just wondering why so many of them are so much higher.
Well, I think this morning the reason I brought that up, Dave, is I asked Mrs. Walden how many was above a one in the assessor's table against the value she was using. One study just had one, and one study had four. So I'm saying, where are all these sales that you're just now referring to in their studies and showing the spikes and the ununiform values? Yes, you can pick an area. You might pick a house. But I'm to be working as mass appraisal assessor through medians and means. And I would hope you gentlemen would look at that. It's self-explanatory. I mean, there's not a lot of argument about those sales. Every one of the ones you're looking at has a signed letter in the assessor's office. Today on the graphs, it was not explained that the sales price of a lot of residential condos might have had $40,000 personal property. I simply asked Carrie if they went through them enough to take that away from that. If it's $40,000 in commercial property, it is true marketable value, as we have learned from the hearing officer at the State Tax Commission. You can leave that value in a sales study. $40,000 fluctuation.
That's an awful lot.
That's a lot of money.
Well, $40,000 is an awful lot to furnish anything.
We have the promenades came in front of a hearing officer, and they were simply saying most of them came in at $21,000 to $26,000 personal property. That's a lot of money on a $200,000. It would put the assessor non-compliant if that sales isn't confirmed and that personal property not deducted, and it goes into one of these graphs, that way, assessor's non-compliant and ununiform.
And he said that was part of the value of the real estate unless they separated it out by doing a personal property declaration.
Right. Well, I haven't been in any of the ones down at the Landing, but I know lots of other condos I've been in all over Fall Creek and Point Royal and all the others that, you know, I know our rental units that, you know, be lucky to have $5,000.
Emerald Bay.
The condition of the furniture and stuff.
Emerald Bay is the one that has the expensive one.
Well, yeah.
Because Emerald Bay, when you buy your condo, you get a lifetime membership to Roark. You get all kinds of boat dock amenities, and it's all driven into that value. If it's not separated out as true market value, the assessor is not uniform.
Well, they're assessed different. Equity. They're assessed separately on their boat slips if they have one. It's not included in everybody's.
And then their furniture's included, $10,000 worth of furniture. I think they said the lifetime membership to Roark run about $7,600, something like that.
They all include that, every one of them?
Not all of them. That's the problem, unless they separate it out for the assessor. I've got it on some sales letters in my office. They separate it.
I mean, you don't get that every time you buy a condo down there automatically.
No, but we get that, Dave, as $7,600 in a $160,000 sale. The next letter comes in, doesn't differ. It just says $160,000.
Okay.
So what is the true market value if you don't deduct that? You know, they just don't, and that's what I didn't like about the graphs and stuff I seen this morning. They didn't say whether that had been separated out in the comparison or not. And MLS doesn't separate it out.
And the letters that come into you don't separate it out.
Some do, some don't. That's what makes the assessor know there's a disparity in values.
115.
So do we want to go on to the tabled ones and start working on those?
Well, I'm trying to.
If it's tabled from, I have the audio transcripts I have not had a chance to listen to yet. I was going to do that this afternoon. So that I can be prepared tomorrow morning, but we
there's
can't.
There's several Mr. Troffus has to vote on.
That, right.
That the board decided to wait on.
You've got some of the back stuff. The ones I was at yesterday, this one, Lady Key.
Those
0115.
You find that list of tabled properties.
Mm-hmm. No, that one wasn't tabled.
I know. I'm looking for my list of tabled properties that we had to act on.
We just had the list in front of us a little while ago. Someone provided it to us.
Here it is, right here. I was trying to find it, yeah. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Maryville property cases.
That's before Bob's come into the office and looked at it and felt like that was their argument.
I don't know where it is.
I made notes, and she's typed up exactly what I put on there, and those were Maryville property cases. I looked at them and reviewed them.
As we listened to the argument again, the Maryville cases that Mr. Ruta presented, I would make a motion that we send those on to the state.
Well, Ruta didn't present any Maryville property cases.
No, he presented evidence.
He talked about the income approach briefly and arguing why he shouldn't be.
That's not Maryville, though.
No.
That's not Maryville.
Maryville involves an income approach, but it separates the low-income housing tax.
It's been used for an example on all in low-income housing examples.
Right.
Right? The income approach is in the Maryville properties case.
Okay. These have to do, like, with the...
low-income housing tax credits are separated from the real estate.
Right.
Right. That's where I was going. The ones that were mentioned in the low-income housing Maryville properties, that they all be sent on to the state, because I don't know that we...
But why aren't we just taking... I'm not prepared to discuss all of them because I haven't reviewed the ones from earlier, the two sessions I missed.
And I wasn't here for the French Quarter classification issue. Those were Carrie Walden as well. I would imagine her argument was very similar to her argument on classification today.
It was today.
Okay.
A percentage that we could not agree with because we were not ordered that way by the state.
Right. But she made that same argument for the French Quarter on all those cases.
Bob, could you, like I hadn't been here, would you run back over that? The last recollection I have is when we sat in the back room over at the other building, actually, where Road and Bridge is, and the State Tax Commission said, do the best you can.
I think we'll I still
back
have,
yet.
From I think there, I still, somewhere I still have the memo from Randy Turley that said that.
But from there, what has happened? Because I've heard today, and I think other days, that the state has, in the Supreme Court, said that we got to do this and that.
No, the Dominion Hospitality versus Shipman case occurred prior to the last time we met on the odd-numbered year in 2007. We had attorneys come in from about 7 different states to discuss the issue, and eventually we settled on doing some percentages in 2007, despite the Dominion Hospitality case, based upon Randy Turley's memo saying that they would back us up if we were fair.
Right.
And I'm not sure that we didn't get some percentages this time. I don't know what we did with Mr. Who was the guy from Jeff City? Mean little fella.
Sean Ordway?
No. The attorney that represented several of them last time came down, made you go
do it.
He may be listening to you on the internet.
That's okay.
He was mean to me.
Anyway, we settled a bunch of those based on percentages in 2007.
But, Bob, they lost their, I don't know how to say, because there was negotiated stipulation, but they lost their case, especially when we talk about the manor over at Branson. We've had that 4 years in a row, and they've took it to the state.
That was a Maryville Properties case.
Haven't they lost it every time?
That's different. What I'm talking
about. So far, yeah. He's talking about something different now. But
right. But I want to use that for an example of why we should go ahead and send those to the state. They've lost those cases prior to...
They filled out their forms wrong, basically, is why they lost. But they did lose.
I'm not against that.
All those that are not in the Maryville property case, is that income approach?
it is an income approach, but there, you have to add the situation that they involve low-income housing tax credits.
Okay, and I mean, I'm saying these that we've got to deal with right here. I'm not.
They involve the income approach. The Maryville Properties case is all involved.
Okay, and that's where we've got problems with cap rates and all the other
stuff. Oh, absolutely. You have all that like you would with any income approach.
And that's where we need to probably send those on.
I'll make a motion to deny the Maryville property cases.
Do
you want me to do that?
Well, no. He's already done that, but it didn't get seconded. I have one on here that I put down, James. Before you do that.
Yeah, we've got a settlement.
There was one on the income approach on the second page, and I don't know if it's a Maryville Properties case. I don't believe it is. It's just an income approach. 07232. And James wants to stipulate and recommend what they've suggested at 7%. Is that right?
That's correct. They use a 7% cap rate, and I believe they're absolutely on the money. The ones I'm questioning is that's using the 12.8 cap rates. That would make the second 7% cap rate we've approved. I don't disagree with how they do their appraisals and use the income approach to value. I disagree.
When you say second page, what are you talking about?
Well,
the second page of the tabled appeals.
Okay, but this is not labeled out here as Maryville case.
No, it's an income approach.
I mean, I was...
I'm sorry. I was just bringing that up so that you didn't table that one. I was afraid it might be a Maryville case.
Well, the ones that are classified on here as Maryville cases on this sheet are the ones that were actually... I mean, I want to clarify that the motion is only to include the ones that are on this tabled appeals that are Maryville labeled properties. Maryville properties.
That's good.
Okay.
Eight in one bunch and nine by itself.
Can I call for a vote on that? Because I think we've got three in agreement for sure.
There's 2, 6, and 1 there.
Why don't you make your...
I disagree, guys. I don't think the Board of Equalization has done even any due diligence to try to resolve the issue of getting a proper value. I think it's difficult, so we're just passing it on. I think it's a wrong answer for the Board of Equalization.
I don't think I disagree with you.
Okay.
But I mean,
I tried 30 days ago to get somebody to help us, and that got shot down too. I just think it's a bad answer for us to say it's difficult, so let's pass it on.
I thought we were supposed to hire in an expert to help us.
No, I brought it up and it was shot down.
I'd rather hire an expert. I mean,
we can't between now and tomorrow.
I know, but Jim, the problems I have on the Maryville properties is someone comes in and says, I paid $100,000 down on my $400,000 project, so I get that money separated off, and I'm going to use a 12% cap rate.
I understand, but our argument is 8% versus 14% or some range in between that, but my thought, the argument has been, let's take an acceptable cap rate and at least provide them a value, and if they don't like that, then at that point they can appeal.
Are you suggesting that we take a cash payment in on a property? I'm not stricken that is the true, accurate way to do something. However much money you've got borrowed against a property is supposed to determine the value. A $400,000 house and I pay $100,000 down, that makes it worth $300,000 starting line?
See, right.
That's the part I'm arguing.
Right.
If $400,000 house and I borrow the full $400,000, that makes it worth $400,000.
That's just from where I'm coming from. That's where I'm coming from is that...
But from my standpoint, I will sit here and admit, I don't understand the tax credit deal enough to even think about making a decision based on that. And I sort of understand the cap rate, but when you start throwing in all this other stuff, it makes that cap rate. I don't understand that either.
Well, it's very hard for me.
I mean, enough to make a decision.
I can work one of these formulas, but that's the part I have. If I put in two $400,000 projects, I get $100,000 worth of tax credits, both of us, me and you, Dave. You take your $100,000 and apply it to your loan, you get a decreased value. I take my $100,000 and go to the Bahamas, and I get a lesser value because my loan amounts more on a piece of property. I don't think that is allowable. I don't think it's being applied correctly because all the cases is always coming in at 50%.
It's being applied as the Maryville Properties cases have, the courts have said that it should be applied. I know that I've heard from the State Tax Commission they don't like the way the formula was set up in those cases, and they feel that there needs to be an adjustment for that very reason. However, there hasn't been an adjustment today.
Bob, just for one clarification, they can take it on to the Supreme Court, right?
They can take it as far as the courts are willing to hear it. If,
with all due respect to Mr. Straffus and
I
his decision, I'm going to call for the question on the vote.
Could we just ask Jim if he's got an alternative?
We could lower them all to 7% like the others and put that value, and if they don't like it, then they can appeal, I guess. I mean, that's, you know.
The challenge we've got, obviously, is we don't have an expert.
We don't know how much you put down.
We don't have an expert, and we're 24 hours from making, trying to get all the answers.
Why didn't you call us and remind us? I'm just messing with you.
Instead of going on vacation.
It wasn't a vacation.
I'm not opposed, Jim, to working on this.
I know.
We've had a lot on our plate.
I know.
And I'm not opposed to getting somebody to work on it. But I'm telling you that the assessors agreed to between 40 and 55%. Now we're seeing Maryville properties presented to this board as low as 25% through their approach.
Right.
Now, I'm saying something's not right for it to get down to 25 and 30% when this Supreme Court, or Court of Appeals action, kind of set it at the assessor's settling somewhere between 40 and 50%
right.
value
right.
of property.
Are you willing to set these at 50% of the property?
Sure.
Each one of these Maryville properties cases?
Unless they said it's worth 60.
Okay.
If they said it were, but the 25% number is all the way off the charts. You'd ought to see that on a colored graph that we've seen.
The Country Ridge, the very first one on the sheet, 60016, has a total assessed value.
I mean, I'll withdraw my second while we're talking about this.
I'm glad you did, because I'm getting aggravated that I called for a question twice and didn't get him get a vote on it. So that's all right.
Well, it has an appraised.
I'll have to withdraw my motion.
Of 380, over 300, I mean 3,900,000.
What are they asking for?
3.9 million, and what do they want?
948,000.
Oh.
So it's over $3 million.
Yeah. See, that kind of stuff, Jim, needs to be questioned by a certified.
Right.
The next one, and they furnished, of course, a million documents on that. The
you
the
want
next
to make
one.
A motion on that one since
you're
not
let's go down through them.
The next one is got an appraised value of $2,000,006.
Okay.
And they're saying $632,000. So it's $2 million. Dollars.
They're all that way, gentlemen.
All 24%.
Yes.
And that's
what I have done. 24%.
We got 12.5 on one. That's one of the lower ones.
7 triple lot one.
Here's one that's only about 40% less than what we.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get that appraisal. Find out who did that appraisal and get them to work for us.
He's saying $5 million.
Which one is it?
$9 million. That's Ridgecrest. It's 70001.
That's the Bull Creek.
So. I want to ask a question though. Why in the world wouldn't we let the State Tax Commission, after all the trouble they put us through, handle some of these cases? Why would we worry about how much work that we've sent into them that it's, they should take care of?
My opinion, this is just my concern, and I don't know all the details, but someone got denied last or whenever they appealed 2 years ago because of an application error, not because the property was proper or not property. It was an application error.
Branson Manor in 2007.
That bothers me is that just because they filled out a piece of paperwork doesn't say their value is not really the value.
They did not provide the necessary required evidence. I presented no cross-examination, and then based upon that, since it was written testimony, they didn't have enough to win. So they lost in 2007, tried to appeal in 2008, and because they appealed in 2007, they were denied again in 2008.
Yeah, but they're the company now that's claiming that you're not supposed to tax their soft money. They're the company right now that's claiming they've got a loan of $1.4 million, that's soft money that they collect 1% on, and that we can't tax that as being a value. We're getting into some stuff that is absolutely...
Here's one. It's $4 million is the assessed, and they're saying $44,000.
$44,000 on $4 million.
Which number is that?
Lost Tree West, 7061.
Oh, that's the ones that brought up, Dave, if you'll remember. They never have got them rented out, claiming they draw the tax credit on the supply and demand, and they can't get them rented out, so they're claiming that they should receive...
No, I'm sorry, not $4 million,
$489,000. Right, but it's Lost Tree.
How many of these do we have?
That's 10%. We've got a total of eight.
Eight?
No, two, three, four, five, six, seven, nine of them.
I make a motion that we do eight of them. Trying to get a motion passed of some sort. I'll make a motion that we turn all these over, deny them all, and take it to the state. I'll try that one more time.
All nine of them?
All nine of them, because the deeper we get into this, the more we can see how complicated it is.
I'll second.
I have a quick question before we vote. To Jim's point of last time around, they lost on technicality. By us doing this, are these going to be in the same spot, you think?
Well, if they do their job right, they won't lose on a technicality.
Okay.
If they don't do their job right, they're going to have attorneys and accountants and that sort of thing. I don't feel sorry for them if they do their job wrong.
I had the sense everybody we talked to were CPAs that already had their work done.
Right.
There's a ton of paperwork already here.
Right.
That it won't be a lot more work for them?
I don't think it'd be a lot more work for them, no.
Every one of them almost had an attorney.
I think they'll probably have to have an attorney at the state tax commission level, but it'll be right over here, and they show up and make their argument, and Bart Tishner or whoever the hearing officer is will make the decision. Actually, prior to that, this discovery that's done, and there's a chance for us to agree upon something, we can actually negotiate these as well. I mean...
And the only problem...
Once it gets passed here, the assessor, through me, gets to...
Now, we keep claiming they've lost on a technicality. Let me clarify that. And I know Jim has stated that and Bob stated that. Because an attorney lost on a technicality at the state tax commission level wasn't his final word. He could have took that right square on to circuit court, right square on to the Court of Appeals.
Yeah, but he was
he
wrong.
He did lose a technicality at the state tax commission level. It wasn't in circuit court, right?
No, he wouldn't have won if he'd gone to circuit court because he blew it on a technicality, and they would have found that at the circuit court level as well. He lost.
No, good.
Let me ask another question.
That's great.
I feel like I'm humoring
Jim. I don't feel sorry for him.
I feel like I'm humoring Jim. I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, if we do that and we can work it out, we would have the opportunity to hire somebody like Jim suggested, got shot down. Is that a smart thing? I mean... Do we want to do that? I mean, what's the cost? And
well, I just,
you know what I'm saying?
I'd rather take that money and go down here to this condo situation that we have down here where so many has come in and hire an appraiser to appraise their condo at a local level here as to take that money and spend it on another situation.
I can tell you generally on these, at least a lot of these, we don't end up hiring someone to do the income approach under the Merrill Grove Properties cases. We can, given the circumstances, if they're not willing to be reasonable. But oftentimes, James has settled these once on a certain cap rate or a certain percentage after they've been denied by BOE. Am I wrong about that?
The first time White River Mountain came, they hired Kelly Trimble to do an appraisal. He came in at a value, it got to the state level, and the state had settled the Maryville Properties case, and they lowered the value to the recommendation through the Maryville Properties case. Kelly, at that time, he'd done that appraisal, wasn't even aware, and he's a certified appraiser, that he was to deduct according to loan value. This loan value thing is what's thrown in and kicked kink in what the actual plan was for these properties was never set up to receive a tax credit whatsoever other than the property tax credit. They were set up to receive a tax credit and property tax to be 100% on them.
I don't care what you do. If you follow the Maryville Properties cases and grant these, if you pass them on to the State Tax Commission, whatever you guys want to do.
I checked my notes a few days ago after we tabled these. But my notes said that we tabled them in order to give us time to hire.
That was my suggestion, and I believe Mr. Strophis's suggestion, and we brought it up since then, and I said, I thought we were going to hire an expert, and we haven't done that yet, and that was probably a week or a week and a half ago.
Without a doubt, guys, it's too late. We've run out of time to do the expert at this point, and we need to deny it. Unfortunately, I'll bring something else up that the gentleman that presented the first three cases on June 18th, says that we have to make a decision within 30 days. We haven't done that either. We have 30 days to make a decision on any hearing, any case we hear.
Middle of cases, I'll have to call you back.
As long as we made it by July 31st.
No, 30 days from the time. Is that right, Donna?
I'm not sure about that.
I think once the case is heard, we have 30 days to make that answer.
We passed that.
Yeah.
Several.
So,
Well, we might have passed it for more evidence too. I don't know on that. I don't know. You may be right.
My argument is probably it really should have waited until after the vote, and I apologize because we don't have 24 hours to finish this, and it's not realistic to get an answer.
Well, it would take take an expert.
There's a motion and a second on the tip of the floor.
I've had two or three.
I'm on a lot.
Call for the vote.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, can we take care of that one?
Opposed. I still opposed.
Can we take care of that one on the second page since we have the assessor stipulating to the youngest appraiser down in Arkansas?
I'm opposed to.
I move to accept the
3-2, Dr. Rose vote.
3-2, and that's for
what number?
All the Maryville ones that are listed on the Maryville.
016, 017.
What do you want to do, Bob?
232 is the last.
Of the summary sheet.
Young fellow from Arkansas, that you liked it when he went to 7%?
Yeah, on 70232, I move to accept the assessor's opinion to accept
McCabe.
The income approach at, with the 7% cap rate on this particular one.
And that's
the
right one, James?
Is that the 7% cap rate, Dave?
Yes, it's the second.
I'll second that. When you get down reasonable like that, and it's just the only one that was reasonable.
They asked for 7%?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said 7%. You know, we asked for 7%, and he called back and said that's fine, and give us the double check this record and call back and said that's fine.
So 017, we're not going to forward. We're going to settle that one here.
Call for the vote.
017 or 032?
This is 20090702
232.
On the second page. Where it's got the notation out there, we accepted that.
There was discussion on that, and we all had agreement on that at the time.
Yeah.
We just put it off.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. What is French Quarter?
Those are classification. Those are just like, I think they're, I wasn't here, but they're just like the ones that we had today, where she was arguing. Go ahead.
And so I need you to explain. Again, the last thing that I heard was verbal, that you do what you want and we'll try to back you. And I heard today, I think, that the state has ordered, the Supreme Court's ordered. Do we have documentation since that verbal comment?
We have
required by the state to do.
We have a written comment from Randy Turley that do what you think is right as long as you're fair, we'll try to back you up.
Okay.
And that's all since the Supreme Court case.
Correct.
And that's how you handled it in 2007, but 2009 is where we're at right now.
But I'm confident I heard today that the state Supreme Court says you got to do this, or the state says you got to do that. All we've got is what
the
you
Supreme,
just talked about.
The Supreme Court has put down the Dominion Hospitality case.
I know, but that was before the state says do what you want.
The State Tax Commission said we understand you have a problem. Do whatever you want as long as it's fair. We'll try to back you
has
up.
Has there been challenge to that? Is there any written challenge or?
We handled it that way in 2007 and no one challenged it that I know of.
The only thing, we got a letter from them that I said if you were going to do it that way, that you wouldn't use it against us in future ratios. Guess what? They draw two of them out on future ratios.
But this is a ratio thing and not some kind of state law or statute?
No,
or
no, it's not.
What he's saying is he doesn't like it because they used that to say he wasn't in compliance.
I think I understand that. So my point is, we did it, and we did it right, and if it's fair, the 70-30, let's continue to do it.
And the other counter argument is maybe there ought to be some resolution. Some people were saying, why is it, Bob, why don't you work on legislation? And I haven't done that, why should I? But
we said that 2 years ago.
I know.
What are you talking about?
The state wants to write legislation.
I know he does, but I mean, what are we talking about? Changing something? 37?
We're talking
French Quarter classifications. 70-30. Did you get one of these sheets, James? The tabled items?
That was even more so. She wanted
here.
On that one to go
99%
residential.
98 and 2.
Because she had found that she counted as
1,195 rental nights, and they only rented 85 of them, which is 1%, but she requested 98 and 2.
And by doing this, understand that to be consistent, you're also kind of deciding what you're going to do with all of those others that she presented today.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
That's why I asked the question.
All right.
This one impacts directly on that. If we're going on this thing that says the state told us that we have to list those as commercial.
Dominion Hospitality versus Shipman states that if they're available, primarily available for nightly rental, and they defined available as if you've got them up for rent more than half the year, even if they don't rent, they're primarily available for rental, and therefore you're 100% commercial. The State Tax Commission prior to that, and James prior to that, always apportioned them percentage residential and percentage commercial. But because of that case, where the State Tax Commission actually got overruled, they told people we need to comply with Dominion Hospitality. But since we're the number one timeshare place in Missouri, evidently, and we were having such a big problem, and we were having all the people from ARTA, the Resort Whatever Association of America, coming in and arguing with us, we went with the percentages last time, and they said, go ahead and do it, and as long as you're fair, we'll back you up. And Carrie was making some distinctions between a hotel, like in St. Charles County, versus condominium units that are timeshare here. The statute does seem to indicate that it all comes down to availability. You heard me say that to her. It all comes down to the definition of available. And I don't care what you do. I mean, I can go on forever about what the law is, but...
Well, the thing I don't understand on this one is this idea that she added only 1% was by on a timeshare deal. You know, if you don't use it, somebody else comes in for 1 week and...
You heard the gentleman just a minute ago say that he actually pays money to have it in the nightly rental program. And, of course, you heard Mr. Ruda say a lot of people do that just to have their unit taken care of. Well, it's in the nightly rental program. He doesn't rent it out enough to even cover his costs of having it in the nightly rental program. They don't make much money, and Mr. Ruda said if they did the income approach, okay, if you're going to say it's commercial, he comes back and does the income approach, they lose money, it's not worth anything. Well, I don't think that's a valid approach when you're not making anything. You heard me say Walmart's not going to use the income approach. When it costs them $100,000 to build the block wall, they make $10 million. They're not going to come in and use the income approach. That would be stupid.
On this French Quarter, that is not a nightly rental type thing. It's timeshare, and then they just rent out somebody's timeshares, which is only 85 nights or 1%, isn't that right?
That's what I
wasn't here for that argument.
No. See,
these are not. They're all owned by one person, the French Quarter, and if I remember the case right, they're all timeshare sold, mm-hmm.
And if people don't use their timeshare, they don't necessarily, when they come in, get that particular unit.
Oh, is this the point one, the point system?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
We distinguished on those the last time. In 2007, we didn't allow the points. Right. We told them on points, that's different. You're not actually an owner.
Now there's...
But she came in...
Well, now there's two different cases. Now some gentleman came in that owned a hotel and a timeshare on a point, wasn't it? And that's not this one. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
the blonde-headed lady that stepped up to the mic. And
I remember her. I remember her, the blonde lady that made the point argument.
It was the point deal, and we denied her because we denied all the point systems as being a... Okay. I said, you're setting it up just like a hotel.
Was okay. Carrie so, a point
so,
system?
So Carrie on this one was not the point system.
No, she was calling over the phone and making the recommendation that we had done it in the past, we should continue to do
it. Okay, but this one is timeshare, if I'm not right.
That's correct.
That is sold out.
But the point is, when she said only 85 nights of the year,
but it really doesn't.
That means that 80. That doesn't mean it's not used 85 rest of the year.
No. It's availability. And it depends on how you define availability. If it's available for rental and yet not rented, okay. If you've got it up for rental 100 days out of the year, it's available. I mean, for only 100 out of 365, so it's not primarily available. But if it's 365 days a year. And it's available, even if you don't rent it one day, the Supreme Court case said that it's available 365 days a year.
If I remember right, these are available when the timeshare person does not come in and use it. They call and say, hey, we're not coming in for the week of June the 6th through the 13th.
Or they trade for someone somewhere else.
And so they know then that one's going to be available. And they get somebody that walks in off the street and saying, have you got anything to rent? And they say, yeah, we've got one that's available.
But how do we know on January 1st, 2009, what's going to be available in 2009 and 2010? I guess that might have been one of her points. Is it always available because it's in the nightly rental program, even though they're going to use it part of that? And there's no difference between somebody that has 365 days, okay, and somebody who has it for 2 weeks. If you have it for 2 weeks... and that's your unit, you have a deed up there in the recorder's office, and you rent it out for more than a week, you're 100% commercial for your two-week increment. It's real complicated nonsense that needs legislation.
I want to make a suggestion to this board, and Carrie, if you're listening, I'm not being offensive here. I believe you need to deny this, send it on to the state, and let's go ahead. We tried this passive mode 2 years ago, being assured that it would be corrected now and we wouldn't be going through this, and here we are. Good. And they said, Artis Group said, we will go seek legislation with the help of Bob. I don't know why they pawned it off on Bob. It's not Bob's business. And I would like for this tonight to go on to the state. Maybe that will spur legislation to clarify what we need to be doing.
And Chuck called the State Tax Commission. They said, I thought Bob was working on something.
Yeah, and I mean, they've pawed it all back on us. And we need to send this group that's receiving the benefit of this, let them go take care of it. And they promised us that. Am I correct, Bob? That they would be seeking legislation?
They indicated that they would seek legislation. And no one, to my knowledge, and of course I didn't do a thorough review of the legislative session in the last 2 years, but I don't know of any legislation.
They flew people in here from Orlando, from
Virginia,
Myrtle Beach, and everywhere to discuss this, and they was going to get legislation fixed.
So they wouldn't support what if we changed it? Or they would support
the passive mode, I'm afraid, would plow in again, and in 2 years from now, here we would sit.
That one we had seven attorneys over
there.
Yes,
seven attorneys came over there and said they would guarantee us they would get it corrected.
All suit and tied
up. And we took the passive mode, let it all slide through, and lo and behold, no legislation.
Stropus and Bob down there.
You make fun of us?
Yeah.
I've got another issue that we haven't talked about, and I don't know if you guys want to make a decision on this one or...
Yeah, and I don't care what your decision is. I'm just saying...
Well, we're on this French Quarter. Let's finish it.
I think she brought us evidence, whether, I don't have it all figured out, but I think it's one that we ought to exempt. $7.99. Yep.
No, it's $1.99.
Not exempt. Change the classification to residential. Change. Split the classification.
It's 1% 99 that she's requesting.
That seems pretty extreme. Like I said, I mean, I looked at the pile over there. It's 70-30 what they're asking over there. Okay? And I was thinking 70-30 is closer.
How about 90-20? 80-20?
I like 70-30.
70 commercial or 70 residential?
70 residential. That's what they're asking for in that entire pile.
It's what we did when we got turned down, gentlemen. Well, James had it.
French Quarter, 70 residential, 30 commercial.
She actually has all different.
But she has all kinds. But
and that's what we did the last time, and that's why she did that.
Well, that would be that might be a good gesture on our part, and maybe she will feel.
Are we going to have to go back and change every stinking one of them?
This has nothing to do with the others. This has nothing to do with the others. This is a timeshare. This is not even a condo.
I know.
And you
I
only
know.
Have to deal.
There's a lot of timeshare out there.
You have a job to equalize, but you only have to deal, and you only have the time now to deal with those that have appealed to you.
This is huge. You gentlemen don't realize how big this is when the states run their studies to see the loss of residential property in Taney County that they can blame to the assessor when all it is a classification change. This is huge.
But it's easy to point to, too.
Easy to point to that they don't ever look.
Second.
I just don't.
I think that's changing my opinion of me.
Aye. That's numbers 0067 through 73.
What is the motion? Because you guys rumbled around there.
Change the classification 70% residential and 30% commercial.
It's better than what they proposed. They proposed 1% commercial.
I don't care. I don't care. We took a horse whipping on that 2 years ago, and I ain't taking another one.
Okay, I need the ayes again.
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
I'd like to address these ladies that have sat back through this whole thing in the Taney Como Terrace. I wonder if there's any possibility to have a local appraiser appraise their condominium project and bring it forward.
I don't think the issue is so much the appraised value as it is the amount of increase. They have, Patsy Horner provided proof that the units had sold for virtually, if I'm not mistaken, pretty well close to what they were appraised at, but it's the amount of increase that you were objecting to more than anything, was it not?
Well, I just thought the fairest way. You're talking about your assessor's increase, and if another appraiser came in and was lower than the assessor, well, then we could consider that. If he's higher than the assessor or the same amount, then we can consider that also.
Well, he would have to be about a half of what what they're saying right now the assessor has.
Okay, then how are we going to consider the Ruta case whenever the Ruta case came in and said if you had 12 or 13 sales on that many condos that you had to increase it to that level? Do you take any consideration on what he presented today for a half a day?
Well, they're wanting theirs. He's not arguing that his are not at the right price. He's just saying that's inequitable, so he wants it lowered 30%, which I'm not so much on that.
I wrote it down here. He said you have to use sales values. I wrote it down just exactly what he said on there.
And his sales value, he's not arguing.
No,
he's not arguing
that
at all.
Right. He said 97 to 100% is
he
what
said
the
we're within,
assessor is on his.
Yeah, 97 to 101%. I mean, he's right on.
Did I get
on
a trophy or anything on that?
So what I'm wanting to do on Taney Como Terrace as well as some of the other condos is tomorrow when we get through with the last hearing that we get into a lot of this discussion. I think there's been something kind of offhandedly discussed a couple of different ways here, but I think Mr. Rose brought in a kind of a proposal this morning, and I kind of have one along the same lines that I'd kind of, and I think there, you know, in case there's something else that comes up in the morning, do a little bit more study on this and talk about it tomorrow.
I'm going with you, Lamar, but I wish you would look at it. I said if you this came out about midnight last night.
If you want to bring it up now, I mean, that's up to you. But.
I was just bringing up this appraisal deal. I thought it right. would be the fair way, that it would be satisfactory to them so that they wouldn't think that let's see, what in the world did
we
the paper say?
We can't get them appraised by tomorrow anyway.
No, that wouldn't happen.
And that's not the objection, is the amount of the appraisal in most cases.
Well, I'd just like to say this thing a whole lot bigger than my condo at this point. It's been a concern about the whole county in general. And I'd just like to say my house is not a toy and I'm not a transient. I've lived there for 15 years. So I've been appalled at some of the things I've heard the last few days. I know about hard work myself, and I know there are a lot of good old boys that are hard-working people here this morning. I understand that I'm from a farm community myself. However, I think we're going to have some equity here. So it's not about my condo anymore. I'm in it for a lot of people.
So you're in it to raise the values that's too low and leave your condo alone? I'm surely not hearing you say that.
Well, I don't, Mr. Chairman, I don't know that it's appropriate that we hear cases that have already been heard and tabled and that we have our assessor arguing with someone in the
area. I know, but I just brought it up to try to make a settlement. I tried to bring it up to try to finish that, so I cut it off.
I'm going to call for a recess here pretty soon. Have all of you looked what I handed around?
Yeah. Well, how come I didn't get left out on all this?
I need one of those either, James.
Oh, okay.
I used to have one.
Well, if we use the CPI of what they give it and when they bought it, they're not going to like that at all either.
Well, now what I said here is. As a result of the public demand for tax relief for tax increases considered excessive in a single year, but in understanding of the assessor's orders from the State Tax Commission to raise the property values in Taney County, I move that all BOE requests for tax relief be granted up to 20% of the 2008 assessed valuations of the property. In other words, anything above 20% go back and be reduced. 20%. This 50, 60, 80% stuff. That then could another year be added back on. That would take at least away this concept that we seem to be on a collision course that we're going to slip it to somebody over here in order to let this one back up.
I don't want to take you to take this offensive, but where in the world did you dream that up at? I can't understand if you have and you're trying to equalize taxes and we're trying to deal with the State Tax Commission to get our dollars back that have been eliminated because of taxes being too low, that we can't make a correction this year on certain parts of it and follow up with making corrections.
This is a compromise. The idea being, I could not go with Chuck's idea of take it all back to 2008, because then we're back, I agree with you, the wall would fall in on us from the state level, that we hadn't done anything. This allows to say that we are going forward, we are increasing property values, but it's limiting at least the amount that any one person can get in just one year.
Well, Dr. Rose, the only thing that I would say, and I'm not saying what we heard this morning from Ms. Walden was accurate. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if we took your proposal, we'd be also reducing the residential properties, which is part of the equity conversation that we've had this morning.
Also reducing the residential?
Right.
They got over 20%?
But yes. Part of the argument, and the State Tax Commission has kind of been picking on us, is the residential has been the issue. The older residential has been the issue. So even targeting any of the residential may not solve the equity issues. It's not about reducing.
Do you think many residentials have been raised over 20%?
I don't know.
I don't know. The my statement is that may be a pretty aggressive. It's not so much the increases if we're trying to deal with. If we're trying to deal with the equitable or the equity
overall.
Overall. So I appreciate your
effort. I appreciate the effort.
I wouldn't go along with this because this is too aggressive.
Well,
the residential.
I'd kind of suggested something along the same lines. I was using 25%.
Right.
But is it not the biggest increases that we have talked about has been on condos?
No, sir. It's not. Condos have nothing to do with the increases.
Okay. What I would like from that database that we've got somewhere in this building they call the IS or something I know nothing about, can they print out the single-family residential properties and how many of them have gone up more than 25%?
Right here.
How many of them have gone up more than 25% during the 2009 assessment year?
From 07 or 08 to 09.
What we can do is if you want... I can get a copy of the Excel document that Dan was talking about, and I can run all those comparisons tomorrow on the big screen so you guys can see the numbers. If you want, I can run the formulas that he's talking about. I've run similar ones, but I've requested three main queries from the IS. I ran him the numbers. The statistics that he was referring to don't add up in my book either, so I've run them again, and I'm on my third version right now. But I can run the reports that Dan was talking about and get you the pretty graphs if you want.
What's your
pie charts in 3D if you want.
What you're fixing to find out is the condos studied showed we were at 50%, and I had to do something. I tried something in 07. It did not work. Now I've come back and tried again in 09 to make it work. The condos in 07, 05 said they were at 50% value, guys. It's a study.
The State Tax Commission came back and said that's what they picked on, right?
9 out of the 35 draw were right. Condos that
didn't
were valued.
They say the same thing about residential?
No.
That a lot of the older residential was nowhere near.
Well, they said nowhere near. They said 78%.
They said you were low, but not as low as with
right.
Condos.
And so when I come back and try, what you're fixing to do is put this county totally out of compliance. The land in Branson Hills that's being argued was on for $5,700 in 08 and raised to the 100,000 mark that they rightfully should be. That's a lot more than a 100%, a doubling or whatever. Market value has to try to be achieved no matter what value's there. But you would have to then, back to your statement, you'd have to separate out the lands. And then are we starting to get into a discrimination case on who we're decreasing?
Did you say 9 of these 35 are condos?
Chuck, no.
9 of what 35?
I'll go get them. I've got them saved out because I thought
just wait till
it's a different
minute.
Study.
Let's wait till we get more information here. Them. But what I'm asking is, now James, on what you're saying, anything that changed construction-wise or plat-wise or anything during the 2007 and 8 years, I don't think of should be included in that, but I'm looking at existing properties in 2007 that didn't have additions or anything like that, or wasn't lots. Now those lots at Emery Creek and Branson Hills, and most of those are something that just the plats came about in the last couple of years, most of it.
And yeah, but
those I would not be in favor of.
Are you talking all land, or are you talking about just improved land?
I don't know. I mean, probably improved land, you know, is where most of this is going to fall. You know, Branson Hills, I would not, I mean, yes, it went up 1,000% or 10,000%. That's fine because it was agricultural, and now it's a residential subdivision, and I don't have any objection with that.
What do you do about Branson North that Kelly Trimble was in arguing in, and I took the land from like 30,000 to the 57, and he was in arguing. He got more of an increase. The condos is not the only one that got. What would you do with properties such as that?
But now, we're not dealing with land only on that. We're dealing on his overall
assessed
appraised value. Did his overall appraised value go up more than 25%? No.
You were close to it.
You raised his land.
Yeah,
you
but
know.
From 30 to 50, 7 is $27,000 based on a $100,000 house.
I'm having a little trouble, James.
Then we're not going to be, if we limited it to say 25%, not going to be affecting it more than a couple of percent on that.
So, I'm just, guys, and you know my fear. I've been hammered by the state on my ratio ever since 05, and I can't see this board doing something to spread that harm.
But my thought on it is we're not going to satisfy the state no matter what we do. Everything's too completely out of whack in this county right now. We have properties that are nowhere near assessed value. We've got properties that are above assessed value and all that. We can do the best we can to do one or the other, bring everything up to market value, which means we've got to raise most of a lot of residential and everything else, or we can try to equalize, and then we can satisfy the state by saying, hey, maybe it's not quite up there yet, we're going to try to do it, but at least we've equalized and brought together things a little bit more equal.
The only thing wrong with that theory, Dave, and I'll just tell you, we have not been tested on 09 yet by the state. That's what we signed, the county commission signed last week, and it's supposed to occur by the 1st of September. They're going to come down and test and say, hey, you're either in or you're out. And I don't believe, and I truly believe, I don't believe they can run a bad test against Taney County with the declining market that occurred and the increase that occurred as of January 1. That's just a bet on my part.
Are they going to come down to a test like this, or are they going to come down and reassess a bunch of properties and set some parameters?
No. They'll come down, drop 35 out.
My understanding...
That's not from the database. Did you know that appraisal practice that's right there did not come out of the assessor's database? That came out of the assessor.
I'm not concerned of what it came out of. I could care less. But right. I was told that this agreement you all signed, that the state was going to send a whole slew of people down here, and they were going to start reassessing an awful lot of properties.
You need to read the we've got that somewhere. Read it. It says there'll be come down running tests. And
there has been two people, just to clarify, there has been... there has been the same office that said two different things, okay? One office person that same in the state tax commission office said they're going to run the study, then decide from there. I've also heard from that same office that they have contacted a lot of people to be relocated to Taney County. So I've heard two different discussions from the same state tax commission office. They are going to do something. We just don't. I mean, they'll naturally have to run a study first, I would think, to find out.
Sure, they got to run.
They have to run a study. So,
but you know, either way, we can't wait on them to do it. So we've got to decide one way or the other. And there's no possible way that we can satisfy both areas, equalization and market value.
They're going to achieve equalization by going to true market value.
Yes, they will not. They will not defer from market value. Well,
if they bring the slew of people in that they're talking about, they will go to market value on every parcel.
They'll increase up rather than decrease.
And you'll see a pretty large increase across the entire county.
But if we've done one or the other, they can't hardly fault us. You know, because
it's a state tax commission. They can.
I mean, they can. But they're basically what they're saying is you need to reassess the whole county, and that's what was supposed to have been done the last 2 years, evidently. So you know.
Well, I mean that argument is still. Yeah, it's.
But if they come in and they increase all the rest of the properties that haven't been raised, they raise them up 30%. Let's say.
Okay.
So. The health department, approximately $1 million is what their property tax brings in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got 44,000 properties. Instead of low, now they're at market value. Those same properties are going to bring in the $1 million.
The levy's going to drop back on
schools. The levy has to drop back.
They won't be able to make... The district will not be able to make more than what they made this year plus the CPI increase. So there will be a rollback. What it'll do, though, is it'll apportion the tax burden
equally. And as it sets today, we've got whether you agree with James or you don't.
We have arguments that says we're not.
We got one-third, let's say, that's going up, whatever properties they are.
Every person that's under-assessed is escaping... their share of the tax burden, while everyone who's correctly assessed is paying more because of the people who are assessed too low.
And Branson, schools did not even roll back their taxes on the situation. And there they are sitting with a 10% increase, and that's what's got people upset. And so this old garbage of everybody's going to roll back is not, does not hold true. They got to roll back to a certain percentage, but then they go the loophole, and people's charged the 10% tax.
Yeah, but if we double the assessment of all the properties in Taney County right now, they're not going to double. The assessment's going to have to roll back.
They're not going to be able to do twice
the amount of money.
No, but they can loophole around it and get at least 10% more. And plus, like the city of Branson with a...
But in other words, the taxpayer is only going to pay 10% more instead of 100% more. So the taxpayer is not going to get hit near as hard if all the values go up. But right now, we know we can't raise all the properties in the county. So if we can try to do something to equalize, at least everybody will carry their fair share until the state comes in and raises it all up to market value. And that's all I'm getting, you know, because
and
of
if,
the...
If James is right that residential are already at value, then they're not going to be raised.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but you guys are fixing to do it whether I'm right or wrong. That's...
You're saying, are you or are you not saying that residential properties that the
state
is harping on is already at right value?
Is at market value.
They were at 78% in 07, and you've raised up all residential so that now they're at 90% of it.
And so they come in and test, and they find that you're right, that residential is right.
91 or 92.
And condos and the things you've raised, the 15,000 you've raised, were wrong. If we raise them 20% or 25%, like David said, and they're still 25% too low, then they'll have to be raised again.
But if
they come in and find otherwise, then it's going to be more what we've been talking about. Everything's going to go up.
If you give a 25% increase straight through, gentlemen, then you're going to say my ratio is at 120%. What's the most unfair?
I'm not saying 20%. We're not talking about overall, James, whatsoever.
I just don't understand how you can go pick a subclass, as been displayed here today by Mr. Walden.
We're not picking a subclass.
You're picking the condos.
No, we're not. You're not listening.
Well, there's no reason for the assessor to run a ratio study and take ratios and try to take sales that we are signed up to. There's no reason to do that. We just come in and we set values on the opinion of a realtor or some other person that comes up with an MLS. This is what the studies are showing. I've provided you the information. I've not hedged. It's there. Gentlemen, it's not 200 of a specific subclass. It is the entire county. And I say today, those graphs are very impressive. They really stick in a person's mind, but those graphs were not correct. And I can prove they're not correct.
Well, we can look at the stats tomorrow like you suggested. There's no sense arguing it until you've seen that. So,
well, the suggestion was not to raise all the properties in the county 20%. It was to limit the raise of any property that had been raised more than that, to limit it where instead of 50%, it's only raised. If one is raised 18%, it stays right there. If it's raised 6%, it stays there. If it had no increase, it stays there.
The legislators tried that day with lost testimony, rolling back to 08 values. I was recommending that. I am the one that got that introduced to the legislators through Maynard Wallace in a committee. Then, when all the testimony came in and started talking, we realized how wrong it was going to be with the statute and the Constitution of achieving market value. We are to achieve market value. 08 values is not market value as of January 1. If you roll back to 08 values, you're taking January 1, 07. they're definitely non-compliant. They're not values of old. Well, and that's why the legislators would...
Going back, we're not talking about going back. We're talking about saying that it may take two steps or three steps to get some of these places that were behind up to the full thing to where some people have some relief.
I understand the relief, but you're not counting the money they might have saved over the last 3 or 4 years as being that relief also. When we talk relief.
Some of them bought the property, didn't save anything last year. They just bought the property this year.
And it's very disturbing, too, on closings that, as you heard Dan say, we feel like property's at 60% value, so you expect to pay 60% of what you paid for it. They should expect to pay on a $300,000 condo if they bought a $300,000 condo and should have been closed at that, not 60%. We're going to close at 60%, so the next year the condo owner goes, my gosh, we closed on $180,000 what we thought the assessor was going to put it in, not $300,000 what we really gave. Is that fairness in any way, form, or fashion to anyone on a closing?
He lost me totally. The only thing I saw unfair on closing was where we saw that a couple of instances is all I saw, to where I could see where the buyer would not anticipate near as much taxes as he got because they prorated and it looked like it would only be at the rate of $700 and it come in $5,000.
Mrs. Walden and Mr. Ruta both said the assessor's at 98% on those condos, guys. Huh? That's 98% of market value. James, and that's what we strive to do as the assessor.
James, you said you tried to do something on condos 2 years ago and it didn't work. What was that?
On condos, we took some of the common lands up. We took some of the... We applied the 202 to everything.
I know that, yeah.
Well, I know. But I went up 32% 2 years ago.
That was a 6% increase. We probably got a 12% increase on condos 2 years ago, thinking that that was going to fix through the studies. The state said I was out by 6% on a residential study. That's how close I was, 6%. I thought when I went to school and took math and science and studied a little bit, if I increased 12, they were requesting 6, that we were okay. But no, they ran them another study and picked it and said we were out 22%.
So two.
That's the bottom line.
So 2 years ago on condos, you raised them 12% or 6%?
Around 12%, I think, straight through. I don't know. I'd have to run the numbers. But they definitely got the 6% everybody else got.
Plus more. Is that right?
On some.
Now, you stated that residential right now, your 9,000 or whatever you've got there, are at 95% or so of market value. Is that what you said?
On that study I give you there. That is in, these are just out of the database, 9,985 houses older than 2001.
And they're at 95%?
Sure.
So you're saying that the biggest part of the property in the county, almost all of it, in single family residential, is up to within 95% of market value?
As a median.
Okay. And they're saying that the condos are at 95 to 98%. So the county ought to be in great shape.
That's what I'm saying the studies may reveal when the state gets here and runs their studies. You're going to have a 30%. You've seen one on there that sold for $6,000. I had it on for $15,000. That's some little something that don't amount to nothing, but that's typical of what the state pulls in these studies. You're going to see land values that might be at 125%. We're doing mass appraisal. If I could go out there and appraise every house adequately to what an appraiser would do, it would take me 5 years.
He's not saying there aren't big mistakes out there. It's just that the median, he's where he needs to be.
Right, and you guys, that's what you're here for. You're hearing from 3% of the people. You're hearing from 3%. 97%, along with your studies saying 95 and 97% were okay, you're hearing from 3% of the people, 97% you're not hearing from.
And a lot of them
I think I've heard more than that myself.
I know. That's what I said one time.
This week.
Okay, well, hold it. I would like to take up one more. At the end of the session Tuesday, we had a request for an adjustment to a duplex or condo association out of Sterling.
Oh, yeah.
And I agreed to go by since I was going to be going that way.
Lidke or?
Yeah. It's the other guy.
Across the street from
both of them. Yeah.
And Kenny helped me find that he was evidently the builder.
Lidke is?
Yeah. I was thinking of somebody else through the P&Z stuff Lidke. Went through. But
well, the one that was the most Lidke's on that where we lowered at 225. Those are ones with the full basement across the street. We treated them fairly. Maybe we lowered it a little too much, but we treated them fairly. We treated them the same.
So the
but this one was a request here.
The guy across the street was saying, wait a minute, you lowered down the guy across the street, Lidke, down to that amount, and you still got me up at this amount. I think that was his argument, right?
Yeah. The gimmick comes is they are not the same. The one across the street that we lowered to the 175.
Doesn't have a basement.
Doesn't have a basement at all. But interestingly enough, is on the market for $224,900.
The 175 is?
The one that we lowered is 175.
Well, you can ask more than it's worth, as we've said many times.
But that's quite a waste. Now, the one, this one here of Cerise at 140. There's no one in there. It's a new one. It's got a for sale by owner deal or out in front of it. It does have the basement. And I had imagined the way he was describing it, it's kind of a little hole down there, 400 feet. That is a finished deal down there. It opens out onto a patio down the stairway in the back. It is not the same as where he was saying the one across the street.
Okay.
Got the reduction.
Did you want to make a motion on this one?
I would move that the one on Cerise be denied because it's at 218 now. The others that had a little bit fuller basement are at 225. So there's already a $7,000 difference between half basement and the basement.
914, is that your number?
Number 914. I'd recommend we deny it.
Was that a motion?
That's a motion.
All right. Need to ask for a second. I think you might get one. I'm not sure.
I'm waiting to see if I do. If I don't, I want a counter motion of what you think should be done.
This one have a full basement?
No, it's not a full basement.
Danny seconded your motion.
I'll second your motion. I thought the 225 was ridiculous.
That was on the other.
I know.
Well,
didn't Cerise testify here in this room that he paid $255 for that condo last
year? Yeah, and we had it at $240, and so we lowered it down to $225. It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, anyway,
wait a minute. It's only $218.
Right.
This one's
that's
on
a different unit that they're talking about.
That is the first one that set precedent on whatever they're all coming now.
This one, I was invited into the one next door, which is identical to this one. He said that he paid $245 for his.
Okay, so based on that and the fact that it's a 218, you're not going to make a motion to increase it. You've made a motion to deny.
If we'd gone down to the others, I don't think we'd turn around that way. I don't think it's being fair.
And there's a second.
But I think, I agree. I agree with Danny. I think we went too far. As I recall, my original motion was for 240, and was chopped down to 225, and I accepted it.
Call for the vote.
Did Danny second?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Abstain.
Aye. 4-0-1.
Are we recessing for tomorrow, or are we doing more?
Is there anything else that
can't wait till tomorrow? Oh, we got one here that could go quickly if you want to, or if you want to set a time to call her back. The lady that you sent my appraisers out to remeasure.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And she was there. We don't know why. The numbers are correct.
Her numbers or your numbers?
Our numbers. We thought we had spotted a mistake here, and I told you I spotted a mistake, and we need to go measure. They are correct.
What's the BOE number?
That's on 121.
What was the value?
Just a minute. 121 gets...
The value that we have on it is 128,467, and she was comparing that to their houses across the street and surrounding her area. We thought there might be a square footage difference. There wasn't. We are correct on the measurement. And we were going to adjust it to the square footage.
She says that all my neighbors' houses are comparable to mine in structure, size, and composition. My evaluation is too high. And they all have bigger lots. She's bigger. Saying she's higher than her neighbors?
Yeah, but I'll show you a drawing, and you can see that her house has a little more design than the straight roofs we've seen that day. And the top of her house has the ranch style. It's not a comparable house to the neighbor's house. It may be in size, but as far as quality, and this house was built in 2004 compared to some of her neighbors.
So you think she has the best house in the neighborhood?
Well, it's just $128,000 house. Possibly has the best.
Can we call that one up on the...
No, we shut off, I think.
Oh, you already turned it off?
Well, we can take it up in the morning if you want.
Just take it up in the morning where it's fresh on, where they got time.
Okay.
We're resting
right
over here.
Just leave it open to that. We'll take it first thing tomorrow.
Recess, sir?
Meeting adjourned.